Well, thanks everybody for stopping by today to hear the presentation on Single Point. My name is Will Ralston. I'm the CEO of Single Point, took over about 2 years ago and set off on our renewable energy strategy, really making acquisitions in the space of the implementers. So that's our forward-looking statement slide here. This deck will also be available online for anybody that wants to pull it down. Overall, what we're looking to do is power our communities. Solar is hyper-local in the States, and each community has different rules. For our main subsidiary, Boston Solar, we have 137 different jurisdictions that we have to deal with in order to do permitting, engineering, and installation. So you really have to know your market extremely well. But we believe in powering more resilient communities makes a more powerful and more connected market for our companies. Little snapshot, we're currently listed on OTC. We've got 13 million shares outstanding, 60,000 shareholders, 26.5 million last annual audited revenue, and a $1.2 million market cap. So as you can tell, there is a big disjointedness in the market value versus what the company has been able to successfully do from an underlying standpoint. We believe this market is here for long term, the next 10 years. We just had the Inflationary Reduction Act pass a couple years ago, which has extended the ITC credits, which are the taxable credits for residential, really any solar installation. We're really focused in the residential and small commercial space. But the fact of the matter is we don't create enough power for what we're already consuming. And the power that we've got to at the point over the last 25 years is expected to double again over the next 8 years. So we're talking about a massive increase in power needs, yet no way to effectively catch up with that. And real, what's driving that is all the different AI data centers, EV charging, and really just the electrification of everything. So we believe, you know, this is gonna be a vast effort in terms of technologies that will help us meet that. We're focused right now in solar and energy storage, but it's going to be nuclear. It's going to be hydro. There's going to be a lot of different energy components that are going to drill more that are going to need to happen in order to support this. But again, with the expansive and really the power consumption, and as you can see here, the solar installations have continued to increase and they're being revised upwards because there's more solar going in every year than that's been projected historically. Solar can support it now. It's something that is installable. You know, a lot of our installations are one-day installations. So if you're a resident or a small commercial business, we can engineer, permit, and then actually get the installations done in a day. The whole process for us is only about 42 days from initial contact to permitted installation at your residence or commercial business. We're still on the upswing. We've only got about 4 to 5% of the market penetration as far as installable solar locations that are available. And what that leaves is just a massive opportunity in the market to continue to fill that gap. We see the expansion of solar in general going from $52 billion to over $223 billion over just now the next couple of years. You know, this number has obviously increased because now we're at 2024, but the market has continued to grow and outpace itself consistently. We're looking at the ability to continue to grow our business. This has, you know, about 4.5 times growth. Since 2022, we've gone from 16 million to 26 million in revenue. So we're pacing with that growth of the industry, which has been impressive and a nice boost for us because we've got a great underlying asset in the company. Again, talking about what's really driven really the adoption of solar and energy storage and EV charging is what was probably incorrectly called the Inflationary Reduction Act. But what that did was establish credits to build for domestic manufacturing, to put in incentives for states and federal rebates on your tax ITC credits. And what that is driving for us is the ability to reduce financing costs for customers. So in Massachusetts, for example, a return on a solar installation is usually about 5 years. It's the number one state to go from, you know, to create your return on investment and really lock in that power cost. We're paying about 45 cents a kilowatt hour in Massachusetts, and that's gone up 20% over the last year. So if you can go solar, implement a renewable strategy, you're actually, you know, locking in your power rate for that part of your bill that you're offsetting in consumption. The analogy that I like to use out there is if you could go back 10 years and purchase the gasoline for your vehicle at a fixed price, you would do that every single time. And that's exactly what you're doing when you're installing a solar system on your premise. With this domestic manufacturing comes more incentives. So the more domestic content you have, meaning if you're still, if your panels are manufactured here, if you have racking that's manufactured here, you start out at a 30% ITC credit, and that can go all the way up to 50% depending on how much domestic content. We see this coming into play really in about November, December, because that's when the domestic manufacturers are really starting to release a lot of their manufacturing capacity. And so we'll be able to actually acquire and source material here stateside. The focus for us is to continue finding great companies like Boston Solar. Again, it's a hyper-local business, and so you have to find great platforms that you can expand on. Just within Massachusetts and what we believe we can expand to, you know, we've gone from the 16 to the 24 to the $26 million in revenue, and outpacing that this year. We know that we can expand. That's just in Massachusetts, and that's only surrounding about 30 miles from our base. We could also expand into Rhode Island and Connecticut, Vermont, which would represent a massive market share for us as we represent in those adjacent states and grow that geography. So we're looking for another additional platform businesses, you know, such as Florida, Arizona, California, these other areas where we can find these great local installers and great operationally sound businesses. And as we create that network effect, we're able to eliminate redundancy. So back office experience, we're able to increase purchasing power, which means we're able to lower our cost of goods. And what that will effectively do is just drive additional margin and profitability for the business. And once you have that full effect, this is what the business looks like. We are able to go from just the customer dealing with us and staying within our ecosystem. And we just believe that's so powerful because of long tail and long-term wins for the customer. When new panels are coming out, if they don't have an EV charger when they first sign up, we want to create that lifetime experience for the customer so they continue to stay within our portfolio. I'm just going to touch lightly on another asset that we have in the business here, and it's our indoor air quality division. This is a little bit smaller. Our largest win here is a $5 million grant out of California. But the tie-in here is we spend 90% of our time indoors. And what do we need when we're indoors? We need power and we need clean air. This business was originally driven by the pandemic. The federal government put to work $121 billion for K through 12 schools to implement clean air systems throughout their school systems. So we know that air is one of the most important things for our health, and that education and work-life productivity is improved when you're in a clean air environment. You're not dealing with allergies. You're not dealing with asthma. You're not dealing with all these other ailments that affect us on a day-to-day basis. And implementing a plug-and-play air purifier with the level of the certified HEPA that we utilize can instantly start improving the indoor air quality in a room. So this is an exciting business. It's pretty nascent in terms of the market and the and what's there, but the federal government has put a lot of capital behind ensuring these things happen, and regulations are actually coming into effect this year that you have to have indoor air quality management and emergency air management systems as a part of your building solutions. So we're excited for this business because it's just it's such a large opportunity with the commercial space, and we've seen these significant wins at the state contract level. This is really just the drivers behind all of this. We're running out of power. We don't create enough for what we already have. There's a significant amount of dollars being flowed into both of these market sectors in renewable energy and indoor air quality, and it's just going to continue to trend that way. Solar is no longer, you know, it is a bipartisan issue now. More of the IRA and ITC credits have flown, have been directed into Republican states for sustainability and development. So, you know, no matter what happens within this next election cycle, this is here to stay. And originally the ITC credits were introduced during the Bush administration. So we're going to continue to see those stick around and continue to support the growth of the solar industry. And just a quick summary here, we've had exponential revenue growth over the last 2 years, 3 years, going from, you know, sub $1 million to trending towards $30 million. We've got regulatory tailwinds in both industries through the IRA, through EANS funding and ESSER funding, which is specific to schools. And there's additional FEMA and federal government grants for clean air energy and energy security. So they were able to go to these schools offering them security grants, which include installations of solar and energy storage in order to make sure there's redundancy at the school, and also install indoor air quality systems and monitoring to continue creating safe air environments for those schools. A little history on the management team. I'm Will. I've been with the company since 2018. We've been a fully reporting filer since June. Took over as CEO in 2021. Chad Miles, operations, deep military experience, leading some very strategic teams. Corey Lambrecht has taken 5 separate companies public, either via IPO or uplist. And Bonnie Monty runs our capital markets division, deep experience in deal structure, M&A, due diligence, and really driving force behind how we structure deals to acquire these businesses. That's really the end of the presentation. I figured I'd open up for questions and any comments or anything like that about the market. Yeah, so the systems that, and I think really your question remains to, when you're building a system for a utility scale, you're definitely looking at that profitability line, you know, prior to any credits being taken into advantage. We really focus in the residential and small commercial sector, and the focus there for that customer is getting really a fixed energy bill. They can flatline, you know, their energy costs and know what they're going to be paying, as opposed to having those fluctuations. So the ITC credits come in for them is an added bonus, and it's able to offset some of that to, you know, they can put it towards taxes. If they can't do it all 1 year, they can roll it over into the next year. But they're really looking more for cost of energy on a monthly basis, as opposed to, you know, return on investment. Yeah.
Do you see yourself uplisting since you were on CBOE and then you're down on the OTC?
Yeah, we do. We're gonna continue to look for the right home for the company, but we want to do that strategically. There's probably 3 separate options that we can look at, but through this story that we've had, you know, with our listing and various things going on, the good news is that the underlying businesses have continued to improve. Revenue up, costs down, trending towards cash flow positive. And we've done a lot of cleanup, you know, with that in the business, which will only help for that future listing. Definitely a series of interesting events that I'm happy to dive into sometime. But right now, the key is just continue to execute. We've got a great business. We've got an amazing team that we've built. And we're going to look for that right home, whether that's, you know, another tier one exchange or an opportunity to work with a business that's already listed. There's optionality for us.
What's the revenue mix between residential and commercial, and what's like the margin profile of each?
Yeah, so, you know, it's a great question, because when we first listed, when we first acquired Boston Solar, it was about 97% residential. And we felt that that was really heavy. So our strategic direction was, we need to focus more on getting to a 50-50 blend. Right now, we're at about 60-40, and being 60% residential, 40% commercial. And combined, it's about a 35% operating margin. Yeah, a gross profit margin. But that was extremely important, because as you've seen with interest rates, it's really hurt the residential solar market. I don't know if you follow it closely, but there's been a significant amount of these small, say, up to $10 million revenue businesses that just have not been able to survive this solar coaster with these high interest rates. So we see just a lot of the companies that are surviving, we consider as being the winners right now. As we come back into a normalized interest rate environment, we'll see, and we're starting to see that already, just from consumers coming back to the market looking for to go solar.
What is the average ticket price? If I wanted to put solar on my house, what would I be paying?
So I'm just going to use Massachusetts because that's where we're at. We're about $40,000 is the average cost of the residential system. Sorry?
Everyone's using financing to get this done.
Yes and no. We've got a pretty premium product, and so that comes with the, you know, we're kind of serving a different tier of the market. And a lot of our customers are either, they may be financing through their bank, but typically, and then, so we've got about 70% that finance just through their bank, another 20% that use one of our financing partners that specifically finance solar projects, and then the other piece of our business is leasing. And the leasing options are a great option right now because of the interest rates.
How much of the business is leasing versus
Right now, we only of our revenue, about 10% of it's lease space.
Like, how long do you lease? Like, how does that work? Every year, renew a contract or?
No, you're usually getting a 15-year lease. So they're long tail. But it really just comes down to who you're working with. Some of the leases, they're kind of, there's fewer and fewer becoming available, but we work with LightReach, who's a great partner. They do a great lease space program.
How long does the product last?
It's warrantied for 25 years. Yeah, so almost all your models are built on 25 years because that's the length of the warranty. Now, degradation has shown that there's only about a 1.8% degradation in the panels over 25 years. So it's not degradation that you're worried about in the product. It's new technology efficiency. And efficiencies over the last 4 to 5 years have improved considerably. So, you know, now are we capped right now? And we've kind of hit that until the next efficiency leap. And how long does that take? You know, we don't know. But it's not a degradation or quality thing. It's more of an efficiency improvement aspect.
And you're only in Massachusetts? Like, I would think that the southern states are kind of where you want to be and where the demand would be.
So the Northeast is actually the number one place for solar, mainly driven by local incentives and rebates, but also cost of energy. So for example, in Arizona, we pay between 18 and 22 cents per kilowatt hour. In Massachusetts, we're paying between 45 and 56 cents per kilowatt hour. So between the cost of energy and the local incentives that are driving this, it's the best state by some measures, and you're always within the top eight, I would say, you know, in any category.
Maybe if you could just talk a little bit about peers, this is my last question, bit about peers and like how you differentiate. Thank you.
Yeah, so our differentiator, and you know, it's pretty basic, right? This is a blocking and tackling construction business, and what's the number one thing in construction is communication, customer service, and being able to get in and get the projects done efficiently. We've set ourselves up well. We're Boston Solar. We're official partners of the Boston Red Sox. We've been in the community for over 10 years. So we've built a name brand there that really sets us apart from the competition. I say it's basic, but when you look at the peers in the solar industry, you see that that's the number one hurdle is these, you know, companies going in and out of business and not being there for that 25-year warranty, you know, or for their workmanship. So we've really set ourselves apart by workmanship, creating, you know, the business and the brand that resonates with the community and standing behind what we say we're going to do, you know, we do and install. Awesome. Well,
$40K USD for a unit solar installation seems on the higher side. When you say premium products, what is the differentiator on the product?
So that's market driven, right? 40K in Massachusetts is really competitive. You know, it's a more expensive state to do solar in just from an operating standpoint. The easiest low hanging one to point out on that is in Massachusetts, you're required to have the same number of certified electricians on the roof as you have roofers on the roof. So if I've got three guys roofing, I have to have three certified master electricians on the site as well. So your overall cost just to install the project are a little bit higher. So 40K there is extremely, you know, competitive with the market and in line with the market. And then, sorry, what was the second part of your question?
That was it. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. But product-wise, we look at, you know, REC is a great partner of ours, Tesla. We use all, you know, we're using pretty premium products as well. So it's a differentiator as well. All right. Well, thank you all for attending today. I appreciate it. If you want any more information, we do weekly emails. You can sign up for those at singlepoint.com. All right.